sounds like we may have a critical mass on the line. I will, if you're on this call, you're on the call for the Bridges conference call regarding Massachusetts Urban Agenda Grant Program. And so we'll do that quick check to make sure that that's what you're looking for. Make sure you're on the right call. I will start by just asking folks to mute their phones, please, to minimize background noise. And we will start. So my name is Juan Vega, and I'm here at the Executive Office of Housing and Economic Development. I'm an Assistant Secretary for Communities and Programs, overseeing the Urban Agenda Grant Program as well as other grant programs here in the office. I want to acknowledge on the line my colleague, Damon Cox, who's also an Assistant Secretary overseeing technology, innovation, and entrepreneurship here at HED. And in the room with me are my colleagues from the Programs Office, Jacqueline Furtado and Kevin Staley. So what I would like to do I would like to start by probably spending the first 15-20 minutes going over the RFP and the primary elements of the application. And then we certainly want to invite folks to ask any questions. As is mentioned in the RFP, this will be the only conference call that we'll be holding for the program before the deadline. However, all interested parties are welcome to submit questions using the eohedgrants@mass.gov email. We'll also be posting after the probably on Tuesday, we'll post the frequently asked questions to try to capture part of what we're hearing during this call and any other questions that we may be receiving. So just as a reminder before I start again, please mute your phones to minimize the background noise to make sure that everybody can hear. And with that, I will begin going through the RFP. You should have been able to either through the, if you received an email from this office or somebody forwarded the information, or if you've gone on mass.gov website under EOHCP, there's a page for the Urban Agenda Program, which includes a link to the RFP document, which is a PDF of the guidelines and outline of the application. And then there's a second link to a Word document, which is the application itself. So hopefully you have the guidelines in front of you to follow. Otherwise, when you after the call, we encourage you to download that to ensure you're using that guidance. So start essentially at the very beginning under the table of contents. We wanted to highlight this year what essentially is new with the program. For some of you that have applied in the past, or certainly in the past two rounds, the Urban Agenda Grant line item in the state budget has been at $500,000. This past year, the governor recommended and the legislature approved an increase of $1.5 million. We now have $2 million available for grants under this program. And this is primarily in response, the governor in 2017 set up the Latino Advisory Commission, the Black Advisory Commission, to essentially provide guidance to both him and the lieutenant governor around issues that were affecting those communities throughout the Commonwealth. And certainly a lot of that work and the listening tour that each commission held were in urban centers. And from both commissions this past fall, produced and presented to the governor reports in which they've outlined a set of recommendations about increasing economic development and well-being outcomes for Black and Latino communities across the state. The Urban Agenda Program, with the increased resources, is looking to facilitate the implementation of initiatives that are responsive to those recommendations, which we find to be in direct alignment with what the Urban Agenda Program was initially set up to do. On page 3, under the introduction, it's pretty much the overview of the program, how the FY 2020 round is looking for proposals from the eligible communities that entail these community-driven responses to community-defined opportunities. We also have a citation from the Working Cities Initiative at the Boston Federal Reserve, which is some of the model that we have borrowed for this Urban Agenda Grant Program. And essentially, what I would want to emphasize here is that the program is set up to provide general operating support to community-led coalitions or collaborations that are looking to address an economic opportunity. And I'll get more into that in as we get closer to the application. But that is essentially what we're looking to fund, is those coalitions or groups of individuals that are partnerships that we require include the community organizations, neighborhood associations, as well as the municipality in which the initiative is taking place. Part B is a table that provides the program highlights and all the key components. It starts by mentioning that the largest or the amount of grant requests maximum is $200,000 for each application. As I've already mentioned, the total funds available for the program this year is $2 million, and it's for general operating support to support these collaborative efforts. The program duration, we intend to have contracting in place by January. And depending on the size of the grant that may be awarded, some of these programs, we expect them to take place between January and June. And for the larger grants, certainly to take place from January through December of 2020. We list some of the examples of things that we have funded in the past or we consider to be strong programs, certainly targeted workforce development, small business supports, and training and development support for women, veteran, and or minority owned, for example. The eligible communities is certainly an important component, and it's on the following page, on page 5 of the RFP, we list out 53 cities and towns that we've deemed eligible for this program. And as I mentioned, we are asking for the community coalition to decide, or the community to decide collectively whether the municipality will be the applicant or whether a lead community organization will be an applicant. Either can be the lead applicant. Essentially, it's the one, the organization or the group that will be the one that executes the contract for all of the funding. And will lead the reporting requirements back to HED. But we leave that up to each community to decide how they would like to best handle that. The eligible partners, we do expect and ask in the application for you to identify who makes up the coalition or the collaboration. We are looking to, as I mentioned, the municipality must be one of those partners. And then we expect to see community-based organizations. There could be schools, Chamber of Commerce, private sector partners, community associations, et cetera, youth organizations or others. The review criteria is listed here, and I'll go more in detail later in the RFP. And today is the bidders conference call that is referenced in the RFP. And, of course, the important deadline to keep in mind is that we will be accepting applications from now until November 8th at 5 p.m. We anticipate doing the reviews of the applications and the scoring and recommendations. There are a few steps here internally. We'll have a review committee made up of folks from here, from HUD, as well as some of our other partner organizations and state agencies. We expect to have a list of final recommendations to the Secretary of Housing and Economic Development in December for final approval. At that point, we will then issue award notifications. Part C, as I've already mentioned, is where we highlight the 53 communities that are eligible. These have been selected and essentially have been, this list has been unchanged since we started the program, but we're looking essentially to include gateway cities, non-gateway cities of varying sizes. We've selected the largest towns in every county to ensure we have geographic diversity. We also generally apply the rule about medium household income being less than 90% of the state average as the way to select the communities. Part B gets into the proposal requirements and the selection criteria. We will consider applications, as I've mentioned, from community collaborations, community coalitions, etc. And so at this point, I just want to stress, it's the program is not for a single organization to just seek operating support because they're supporting great work in their community. We're seeking proposals from collaborations, groups of people where the lead organization certainly will be able to cover some general operating expenses, but we specifically are asking that it be for the purpose of managing the coalition, and also we out of the budget to be distributing subcontracts to facilitate the partners in the group to also be able to carry out. The next component is very important, and for many of you who have participated in the past will remember the rule remains that we expect that each eligible community shall submit only one application. The only exceptions we're making are for the cities that have over 150,000 residents. And in those cases, we're asking the community, the municipality, to either submit one application that is citywide for a citywide effort or initiative, or to instead, if they don't want to do one citywide, they could submit multiple applications, but then we're looking for one from each distinct neighborhood in that community. And I'll use Boston as the clearest example. If the city of Boston decides to submit multiple applications, we would expect to see, for example, recognized neighborhoods like one application from the Dorchester neighborhood, one application from Mattapan, one application from Roxbury, etc. And we have strictly enforced that if we get multiple applications from the same entity or from the same community, we'll essentially just have to disqualify all the applications that come from that community. It's an important part of what we're trying to facilitate and promote through this program is this sense of collective action. And so just to be very frank, it has happened a couple of times when we get multiple applications from the same community is a clear indication of the lack of communication happening on the ground. Next, I just want to specifically go through the criteria and the points that will be designated, essentially the rubric that we'll be using to evaluate your proposal. I did want to note we do get the majority's applications tend to be around workforce development, which is, you know, clearly a recognized need in many of our communities. But we do want to emphasize that any workforce development proposal that includes development or training must be aligned and referenced the regional labor market blueprint that was developed and submitted by the regional planning teams. Your every single municipality is part of a mass hire region, which then rolled up to these regional teams. And hopefully many of you have been involved over the past couple of years in this, these planning efforts. But we will definitely, we will have members of the Workforce Skills Cabinet participating in the evaluation of these proposals, and we will be specifically expecting to see anybody that's proposing workforce development that is doing so in the context of whatever the regional planning efforts have identified as priorities. On page six, we outline essentially the rubric and the points that, that we will be applying. Without getting too much into the details, the first section is really about understanding the coalition itself in terms of its history. Nope. Just a reminder to all folks on the call to please mute your phones, minimize the background noise. Thank you. So we're asking for the experience of the applicant as well as some history about the coalition. We understand that some coalitions may have been formed in the last year, some may have been together for 10 years. So it's not essentially, we're not making a judgment on the length of time. We're just asking for whatever that, that time frame has been, describe to us what have been some of the successes. The next part is vision and goals. This is tied a little bit to what I said earlier about being aligned with the blueprints for your region, but also where we see the municipality being a key player here. We expect to see that these projects and these proposals are aligned with what the municipality has identified as its most important development needs as well. And so, again, the extent to which you can describe the broader context of your community, how this work that you're proposing is in direct alignment with other planning efforts is where you this is how you can be stronger in this section. The third section is specifically asking about the composition of the collaboration, description of the partnerships, and talking a little bit about, you know, how you're leveraging existing strengths. This is a great opportunity or section where you can highlight how many of the members of your group live in the community, for example, as a demonstration of that local capacity building. This is where you want to highlight that. Target population is next, and this is straightforward. This is how you describe who the users of the services or the users of the programming that you're proposing are. And specifically, we're asking you to the extent that you are proposing programming that targets Black and Latino populations, we'd like you to highlight that here. The economic opportunity, the project plan, is 40 points, is the largest section, the most heaviest weighted part of the application. And this is where you're going to lay out a central plan for the programming that you're proposing. We want to understand what is the opportunity that is prompting this response. Is your town, I'll give some examples, perhaps there are, you know, two new hotels opening up in your community, and there's now this opportunity to train people in the hospitality industry that live in the community to make sure they can take best advantage of those new jobs. Or an increase in the number of restaurants in need of culinary, people with culinary experience, and you partner with a local youth organization working with at-risk youth, and that you want to answer this workforce opportunity to try to get them engaged and take advantage of the new jobs. Perhaps there is again, growth in some local business opportunities. Maybe the town or the city has prioritized trying to reactivate empty storefronts, and so there's an opportunity to do that, and maybe even some incentive programs to do that. And you pull together some, you know, the chamber with some, you know, entrepreneurial training program and business training providers, and create a curriculum to get people prepped for hopefully, you know, accessing some financing through the Small Business Development Center, for example. So again, it's just mixing and matching, right, of various resources to try to respond to something that's happening in the community where you want to be able to increase the opportunities of local residents and local business owners. And we list some of those examples out just for illustrative purposes. We're looking for innovation in all cases. The next section is kind of more instructional. It's the information and guidance about submissions. As I've already mentioned, all of the materials, including this RFP and the application form, can be found on mass.gov. If you go to www.mass.gov/HED, you can follow links to the Urban Agenda, and you'll be able to download these documents there. The email account for all the communications for this program is eohedgrants, all one word, @mass.gov. This is where you can submit your questions. But this is also the email where you need to submit the application once you complete it. Number three is the conference call, which we're on today, and the deadline again is November 8th, Friday at 5 p.m. Also on page 7, I want to stress the components of the application or the proposal packet that we're expecting back is the cover page that's in the application document, which is basically the contact information and a brief abstract about the program and an indication of how much you're requesting. The proposal narrative, those are responses to the six sections of the application, which are the ones that are aligned with the scoring rubric. Then there's a budget form, which we're asking you to break out the amount that you're requesting and what your plans are for the allocation of those resources by line item. It's also a place where we're asking you to identify if there are any match funds that have been leveraged. We do not require, the program is not requiring at this time a match in order to be considered for a grant. However, as I hope everybody understands, those applications that in fact do provide evidence of a match, either from private philanthropy or from your local businesses or from the municipality itself, will certainly be more competitive. And finally, the section, we do require essentially two support letters, one from the municipality, from the municipal CEO, mayor, town manager, city manager, administrator, etc., indicating their support and participation in this initiative, and then another letter from the lead organizations. In most cases, it's going to be a community nonprofit, but any organization that is duly organized is eligible to be the lead applicant, and will need to, the CEO or leader of that organization will need to also submit a letter making the commitment to be the lead and participate in the initiative. That essentially, all those four components should be all put together in one PDF document and submitted as your proposal. We do get questions about other support letters. Excuse me. We do get questions about other support letters, and we certainly welcome them. If you have support letters from other community organizations, from local elected officials, etc., we ask is that you invite those letters and have them reference what role they will play in the initiative. That will be helpful. But I do want to note that the letters while we will certainly look at them and review them, they'll be filed with the application, but they won't factor into the scoring or otherwise be counted in the evaluation of the proposal. And so just as a general note, I just remind folks, we do anticipate getting a great response, lots of proposals, and that means there's a lot of reading for us to do to be able to appreciate all these applications and be able to analyze them. The more information you add does not make it easier to read and understand your proposal. It's really the prime components in the application answering those questions. It is really where we're going to be able to determine the strength of your proposal. Adding 20 support letters is nice, but please note that, again, they won't be counted towards evaluation and just makes it more difficult as we try to get through all of these applications. So that leaves, in 2 more minutes, I'll just... The quick overview on the application template, as I've already mentioned, the first page is the cover page, pretty straightforward. The proposal narrative, which we're asking you to kind of fill in the boxes under the respective sections. You can delete the questions if you'd like. You can leave them in. But we do need whatever responses you do put in to answer all of the questions. And just we ask that you keep the entire narrative section less 7 pages or less. And then the third component is to grant the budget form. We're asking you to break out. And I just remind everybody to just, this time it's not an embedded Excel worksheet. It's just a table. So please make sure to double check your math to help us as we read through these so that everything is clear. So that is essentially, I'll pause now, that is essentially the RFP, the updates to the 2020 version of the Urban Agenda Grant Program. So at this time, I'd like to open the line and invite folks to ask questions, things we're not necessarily asking for, we're not able to really get into any specifics on any particular community's initiative. We're more looking to answer technical questions about the proposal and anything that might be where you might need clarification in order to submit your proposal. I just ask you to introduce yourself with your name and your organization.
Hi, my name is Sarah Myers and Blair with the Holyoke Housing Authority, and I understand I've looked at the governor's Latino Black Advisory Commission priorities, and so it looks there's several priorities there. So I guess I just want some clarification whether if the area isn't directly addressing one of these priorities, is that still acceptable?
So to help me understand, if your proposal doesn't address any of the recommendations, is that your
question? Well, you know, it sounds like I have the Latino Advisory Commission's priorities pulled up right now, and you know, there's a focus on education, workforce, business, welcoming immigrants. So I guess my question is. Is those three priorities would obviously proposals that address those three priorities would be the most competitive, but would it preclude others?
That is correct. That is correct. We are accepting again the priority being the community coalition is really the emphasis, right? This collective action or collective work is what we're looking to fund and support. And yes, you're not precluded from applying, but to the extent that your project or your programming aligns with recommendations, which I would say the recommendations in both reports are fairly broad, right? They look to advance outcomes for children in K-12. It looks to help adults in workforce development. It looks to help businesses. these are generally the types of programming that we've received through this program in the past. And so we anticipate there's going to be a lot of alignment. But no, you're not precluded from applying if you're not able to, if what you're trying to resolve doesn't directly align. As long as what you're trying to resolve is, you know, then the onus is on you, the applicant, to demonstrate that you are proposing this programming specifically because the opportunity in front of you in your community is X.
Yeah.
And that's really where you have the opportunity to make the case.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful.
I hope that helps.
Yep.
Courtney Roy Brannigan, Entrepreneurship for All. Our headquarters are in Lowell, Massachusetts. I just wanted to get some clarification on something you said at the beginning of this call about multiple applications. We have a program that is in multiple cities across Massachusetts. Many of them are on the eligibility list here. Would we be able to send a proposal for each of our programs in those cities with different partnerships? Or is it one application for the organization as a whole with a partnership that's permissible?
Interesting question. So I would just stress, the proposal is from the community, not necessarily viewed as from any given organization. And so if once the community and the community coalition puts in one proposal, it would probably be okay and appropriate if the same organization is selected as the lead applicant in multiple communities. We're not going to be judging it from the perspective of organization, you know, X is, you know, it's not like we're going to be funding organization X multiple times. We're going to be funding multiple organizations, and the fact that there's the same lead in multiple should not be a problem, on the assumption again that we're going to be evaluating the strength of those coalitions on the ground, and as long as the municipal CEO is signing off on that programming, it's up to the community to decide who they want to be the lead applicant. And so one organization conceivably could be the lead applicant in multiple communities.
Understood. Thank you.
That makes sense, yeah?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Carolyn Daly, Berkshire Bridges Working Cities Pittsfield Coalition. So I was wondering if the chances of being successful with an existing successful coalition that's already doing this work would end up giving a municipality more weight in perhaps being successful at procuring the grant. Do you think how would that look?
Just to understand the question, so you're wondering if the coalition is already existing, whether that will be okay?
Yeah, so we're an existing Working Cities Challenge coalition, so we've had 3 years of working together. So would we score higher because of the fact that we have an alignment in the mission as well as a proven successful track record of what we've already done?
So I think yes. I mean, certainly, as you'll see in the questions in the application, we are asking for demonstration of, you know, that we don't anticipate or expect community coalitions to form now just for the purpose of this grant program. I do qualify that by saying we'd love to see coalitions forming all the time, right? So I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying that it doesn't, you know, if it's just for the grant application program, your answers to the questions about history and past successes obviously is not going to be as strong. And so coalitions that have existed for multiple years for generally economic development and or community development purposes, yes, are going to score higher, presumably because you are going to be able to, your answers to those questions about past successes should be more robust. Now, that's assuming, again, you're writing the proposals. It's on each community to essentially put your best foot forward and tell the strongest story you can, right? So, we would expect that coalitions that have been around for a couple of years, already working together with some proven track record, are going to be able to, will score the best in those questions, and therefore, you know, will have an advantage in that sense.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Catherine Fear from Attleboro. I have a question. If there are partnerships in place where individuals are willing to contribute kind of their own ongoing support in kind, you know, personnel and program expenses, can the grant be used towards more specific project concepts, more like one-off because the partnership is already in kind contributing those other expenses?
Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure. So, the program is designed to kind of provide supporting services, it seems like, for, you know, ongoing partnership, collaboration throughout the years. But if we already have partners that are willing to contribute their time and their personnel resources and, you know, a lot of their electronic resources, things like that, towards the partnership, could this grant be used more towards, a one-time or, you know, maybe potentially every 5 years type of event?
If I understand the question correctly, I think generally, and I'm just looking at my colleagues in the room if you have anything to add, I think generally the answer would be yes. We do intentionally want these funds. They are operating funds in the operating budget of the Commonwealth, and so we are able to be much more flexible in the distribution of the funds and what they're used for, obviously within the parameters of, you know, allowable costs in general. We're not, you know, we do hope to see, you know, sharing of the of some of the expenses with your partner organizations that may need it, but we're going to be very flexible, and, you know, some programs use the funds just for programming, to pay for teachers in a program, or pay for, you know, supplies for, if it's a workforce training program, you know, some of the training supplies. Or in some cases, but we've had cases in the past where the grant gets completely split up, you know, equally amongst all the partners, and each of the partners then takes on a component of the services. Or some kind of, you know, combination of those things. In the case of, if you have others contributing tangible things that you can quantify, I would certainly highlight them in the match column.
As in kind. And most budgets are done like that, but I would be curious just to have an inclination of what she meant by other services in other areas, just so that we're clear.
Yeah. The other services that you reference to, are they the services that are part of the project you're proposing?
I don't want to get into too many specifics I don't want to disrupt the flow of conversation. But essentially, we'd be using the funds as a pass-through to incentivize small businesses.
Yeah. So we've done, again, we want to be very flexible. I would say make the proposal in the way you're thinking in the application. During the contracting phase is probably the best opportunity where we can kind of settle on what would work best and what would be appropriate. And like I said, we want to be flexible, and we have been flexible in the past. But probably the contract, I would put it in and not worry about, the specific allowance of the line at this time, because we're going to be evaluating the content of the content of the program and deciding on whether to award it. Once we decide to award it, then we can talk about the specifics on the budget before it gets to contract.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, Robert Thomas, Central Las Americas out of Worcester. My question is on item D, page 5, in a city that has more than 50 1,000 people. If the city chose to make an exception and apply for two particular grants from different neighborhoods, is the maximum that they could apply for jointly 200,000, or could both of those grants apply for 200,000?
That's a great question. Each applicant can apply for up to 200,000. Yeah, the cap is not a cap of 200,000 per city. It's a cap of 200,000 per applicant. And so, yeah, so in the case of essentially Worcester, Springfield, and Boston, are the only three that have populations over 150. Each neighborhood, as long as, you know, I would just remind you that the neighborhood has to be distinct and only one application from that neighborhood, but each of those neighborhoods can ask for up to $200,000.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yep.
Hi, this is Claudia Green from English for New Bostonians.
Hi, Claudia.
I have two questions, actually. One is just, I'll ask them both. Are these funds intended for direct services? And I ask that because some of the recommendations, in at least from the Latino Advisory Commission, I have, which I know a little more familiar with, some of them are, you know, the kind of benchmarks and the recommendations are not necessarily all direct service. And so I'm wondering if that is the intent of, is that what you're looking to fund? And my other question is, is there any possibility of, I think the answer is no, but I'm just going to ask, is there any possibility of making an application that would be for more than one neighborhood in the city of Boston?
So I only paused because, yeah, there was a question earlier about multiple cities. Interesting question about multiple neighborhoods. Again, we're not evaluating and funding the strength of any particular organization.
Right.
We're looking to fund the neighborhood association that has organized around a program. And so if, you know, in the Boston example, if there's a coalition in Mattapan and another separate coalition in the South, in South End, and and they both happen to want, to do something with at-risk youth, and they both want to decide if they want to work with the same organization that can help them with the youth work. It's okay that the organization, is the lead applicant in both cases, as long as that applicant is demonstrated. So we need two applications. Each neighborhood has to submit their own application. It could have the same lead. I think it's the same answer that I gave earlier about multiple cities. Again, we're not looking to evaluate a great to fund one great organization. We're looking to fund great projects in a city or a neighborhood, and who that city or neighborhood wants to be the lead organization to help them is up to each of them.
Got it.
Yeah. And just as a reminder for anybody, to you, Claudia, and anybody else from Boston that might be on the line, and this is probably the case also for Worcester and Springfield. In Boston, the mayor's office has designated Inez Foster as the person who will coordinate to make sure that only one application is coming from each neighborhood. So I just remind anybody on the call that's from Boston, and I know that the city manager in Worcester, as well as the mayor's office in Springfield, kind of handle this the same way. Their offices will coordinate whether they're going to go one application or whether they're going to do multiple. So I ask you to make sure to connect with your municipal CEO. Again, please keep your phones on mute. Background noise.
This is Claudia again. Just to clarify on my first original question, which was about, do you envision this as really funding direct services, or might there be outreach strategies, organizing work, there's some language about, you know, reaching benchmarks, increasing strategies of collaboration with the private sector for professional associations, that just in those in the Latino Advisory Commission, in those recommendations. Sure. So I'm just wondering if what you're funding is more specifically about services.
So I would say no. I think, again, the funding is extremely flexible. We anticipate folks to both mix and match. We specifically want the funds to be considered general operating, in the sense that specifically that we're not looking to only fund, equipment or only fund services. What we do ask is that you keep in mind that whatever the funding and whatever way you distribute it, whether you're using it for personnel, whether you're using it for subcontracts, whether you're using it for consultants, that all of the uses be to advance the program that you're proposing. And I think in the earlier question about, well, what if your partner agencies are already paying for the teachers and all the materials in the classrooms, and we don't need to use the grant for that, then certainly the grant can be used for other purposes, and it could be used to support, some organizing. It can be used for capacity building. But we're going to be looking for the proposal to describe how it's increasing local capacity in the broader sense, and not just covering the day-to-day expenses of the lead agency. That's the only distinction I think we're going to be looking at, is that it shouldn't just be to pay to pay all the utilities and the copier costs of the lead agency in a vacuum. It can certainly cover admin and overhead for the lead, but we're also looking for you to spend that money and share it with the partners. In which case, some of the partners, you might hire one of your partners to just do canvassing and get people engaged in a process. You could use some of the funding for another partner who's going to be the provider of the training. Another partner could be you could hire a consultant to be the facilitator of the coalition meetings. So we'll be very flexible in the kinds of things. It's not just for the direct service.
Thank you.
All right, we have 10 more minutes scheduled for the conference call. I just invite any other questions. Again, just let us know who you are and your organization. Wow, is everything crystal clear? All right, no, that's fine. Thank you. So I'll just reiterate that November 8th is the deadline for these proposals. I ask you to read through the RFP carefully, look at the questions that we're asking, and this is specifically how these proposals will be scored. It's a 100-point scale, and again, if there are any after the call, if there are any additional questions, please send them through the EOHEDgrants@mass.gov email account. We may not be able to answer everybody individually. We'll try to aggregate any questions and then post them on the website through the frequently asked questions document. I wish everybody the best as you pull together your organizations, groups, and your coalitions, and come up with some really awesome ideas to advance economic well-being of people throughout the Commonwealth. Thank you very much. Wish you a great rest of your afternoon and a great holiday weekend to all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Juan.
Thank you.